Street.
There's great excitement in the village of Stacton Trestle, for tonight sees the commencement of the Stacton Music Festival. And this year, Dame Hilda and the Doctor, the festival organisers, have persuaded the famous Savoyard, Mr. Peter Pratt, to open and indeed take part in this annual affair. Both ladies have worked very hard, and with only hours to go, are still working very hard. Well, one of them is.
I'm coming! Bethany.
Of course it is.
You've been a long time, dear.
I've been banging on this door for at least 5 minutes.
Have you? Well, I didn't hear you.
You never do when you're asleep in the armchair.
I have not been asleep in the armchair.
I saw you quite clearly through the window. Anyway, help me carry the shopping trolley into the house.
You don't carry the shopping trolley, dear. It's on wheels. You pull it.
If you'd use your eyes, Hilda, you'd see that it is minus a wheel.
Oh, now, that was rather clumsy of you, dear.
I haven't broken it. It just fell off.
Oh, dear. Well, these things do happen. Especially to you.
I've had to carry it all the way from the village and call at the town hall to make sure that the piano tuner had been for tonight. And my arms are nearly dropping off.
Well, why didn't you ring the RAC, dear? They do... they do have a get-you-home service.
Very funny, Hilda. Now, give me a hand.
Well, I must admit, dear, you are perspiring a little.
This is no time for politeness, Hilda. I'm sweating. I've had a dreadful struggle.
Well, why didn't you give me a ring? Oh, I would have come down and helped you.
I did give you a ring. I let it ring and ring and ring.
Yes, well, that was when I was in the cellar.
Or asleep in the armchair.
I was not asleep in the armchair.
Hilda Brackett, I've told you, I saw you through the window.
Yes, yes, but I wasn't asleep. I was resting my eyes and
thinking about falling asleep.
No, dear, I was thinking how well I got through all my jobs this morning.
But that can't have taken you 2 hours.
Well, of course it hasn't, dear. I've ironed a couple of crepe bandages, put out the milk bottles and washed out the breakfast dishes as well.
Breakfast dishes? I didn't have any breakfast.
No, but I did. And I had 2 bowls of prunes.
Now I know where you find all your energy from, dear.
There is no need to be sarcastic, Edna. Oh, did you remember to get a Stacton Bugle?
Of course I did. And we're on the front page.
Oh, let me see. Oh, yes. Oh, hasn't that photograph come out well? Oh, it is good of me. Yes. And look, you can see Milton in his cage. Look, Milton, look at your picture in the paper with Mummy. Yes, I know. Oh, it's a pretty boy, then. Yes. Oh.
I'm on the picture too, you know.
Of course you are, dear. Yes, and it's very nice. It's a pity about that smudge on your face. Probably printer's ink. What a shame it's where it is. Makes you look like Hitler.
Honestly, Hilda, you are quite unfeeling.
Is it a good article?
I don't know. I haven't read it.
Well, let me put my readers on. Oh. Oh. Dame Hilda Brackett. Her budgerigar Milton and Dr. Hunge. Oh, dear, they've spelt your name wrong.
As they invariably do.
Yes, what was it last time? Oh, yes, Dr. Binge.
They've called me everything except Dr. Singe.
Well, I must say they've gone to town. Look at the headline. Peter Pratt to visit Stacton. Big scoop for Dame Hilda. Dame Hilda Brackett has secured the services of Mr. Peter Pratt, the world-famous Savoyard, to officially open and appear in the Stacton Music Festival.
I didn't realise you'd done it all on your own there. I thought I'd helped you.
Oh, you know what the press are like, dear. Oh, just a minute. Here's something about you.
Yes.
asked if she was excited at the prospect of playing the piano for such an eminent Gilbert and Sullivan performer, Dr. Singe said... Oh, it's not your name.
You wouldn't laugh if they misspelled your name as Hilda Bucket, would you?
No, I wouldn't, dear. But you see, they never do.
Oh, telephone, dear. I'll get it. Just a moment. Stepton 295. Oh, hello, Peter. It's Peter, dear. You're where? He's at the station, Hilda. Oh, I see. He's caught an earlier train. Well, look, Peter, shall we arrange a taxi for you? No, it's no trouble at all, dear.
Let me have a word with him, dear.
No, he wants to talk to me. We're so looking forward to seeing you again, Peter. How is who? You're talking to Evadne. Yes, yes, I suppose we do sound alike. Well, you stay where you are, Peter, and we'll have you with us in no time at all. Bye-bye.
I tell you what, dear, you ring up for the taxi and I'll go and put the kettle on.
Oh, are you sure it's not too much trouble, dear, after your morning's labours?
Oh, yes, perhaps you're right. You do it.
Beautiful event name. You're playing as well as ever.
Thank you, Peter.
You know, Peter, I was just thinking, wasn't it at those digs in Nottingham the last time the three of us were round a piano?
Yes, Hilda, we were carrying it from one room to the other.
And not very successfully, as I recall.
Well, that's hardly surprising, my dear Evadne. One room was downstairs, the other was on the second floor.
That's right, we had to abandon it on the landing.
Mm. Blocking the bathroom door.
Yes, and wasn't the landlady's husband taking a bath at the time?
Yes.
Wonder if he's still there.
Well, if he is, I bet his bath water's gone cold.
In that place, the bath water always was cold.
Now, that was the first time we met, Peter. That week in Nottingham.
No.
No, you're wrong there, dear. It was Birmingham. Most definitely Birmingham.
Actually, Hilda, it was Leeds.
You see, Evadne, I knew you were wrong.
We both were, dear, but at least I was several miles closer.
I remember it rather too clearly. I was at the Grand with...
And you know, Peter, I think you're right. We were down the road at the Empire doing No, 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 Next.
Oh, don't, Hilda, it's all too long.
Look, come on, dear, 2 bars in. You can remember it.
Oh, I'm going to sit
down, dear. I want to be happy, but I can't be happy till I've made you happy too.
Life's really worth living when you are worth giving. Why can't I give some to you?
When skies are grey and I know you feel blue, I'll send the sun shining through to you. But I can't be happy till I make you happy too.
What was that show that we were doing after that? You came along to see us. Oh, the one that followed that. No, it wasn't. It was, that's right, it was one of Carrot's conversation piece.
My whole life through, I'll follow my favorite man. He doesn't seem like my birthday anymore. When may I be able to love somebody for myself?
Just after luncheon, Melanie.
How you know, clever, dear.
I'll follow my secret heart till I'm in love.
Mm-hmm. You know, Peter, I've always thought thought you'd do awfully well in those sort of shows, you know, those lovely clipped songs, you know, those lovely ones that you used to do. What was it? You had a favourite number, I remember. It was... oh, yes, you see, Badney remembers it. It was...
Two lovely black eyes. Oh, what a surprise. Only for telling a man he was wrong. Two lovely black eyes.
Second time!
Steak.
Oh,
only for telling a man he was wrong. Two lovely black eyes.
You know the other one who danced it? You know. When I'm calling you. Away from the piano. Otherwise, we're never going to make it.
Good heavens, it's 4:15. And we have to be at the town hall at 6, you know.
Well, do you want to go and bathe first, Peter, while Evadne and I run through the programme?
The bath festival, I suppose, sir.
Oh, I'll give you a shout when I've finished.
Well, all right, then. And don't use all the hot water.
Like you did in Nottingham.
Birmingham.
Leeds.
Thank you very much indeed, ladies and gentlemen. And on behalf of the Doctor and myself, welcome to our very own Stacton Music Festival.
Yes, I echo those remarks.
I know you do, dear. That's why I said, on behalf of the Doctor and myself. Now, before I introduce our very famous opener, I have some urgent news. We have just had a word from Mr. Roberts, the butcher, and it would appear that the potted meat has gone off. Now, dear little priest, the tea ladies have tried to remove all the potted meat sandwiches from the buffet, but there may be one or two which have slipped through the net, so to speak. So, if anybody finds a potted meat sandwich on their plate, if you would take it to Mrs. Connors, she will give you a voucher which you can then take to Mrs. Hardy, who will exchange it for half a mushroom bolivon.
Oh, is that the current rate of exchange there?
Oh, oh, very good, Evadne. Oh, yes, I like that. Wish I'd thought of it. Ladies and gentlemen, this year, to open the proceedings, it gives me the
us.
Very...
Us.
It gives us the very greatest of pleasure to welcome our friend, and I am sure yours too, Mr. Peter Pratt.
Thank you very much. It has been said before, I am much touched by this reception. Dame Hilda, Dr. Hinge, ladies and gentlemen, music lovers of Stacton. I didn't know that tonight I'd have the honour to appear in the same hall as the PM, the potted meat.
Oh, very good, Peter. So topical.
For me, it's a privilege and a pleasure to be invited by these two charming ladies. My dear old friends who have worked so very hard to make this annual festival an annual success, indeed, a perennial success. To launch a music festival, it might be appropriate to break a bottle of champagne over the piano.
Oh, very good.
But I will content myself, and I hope you, by saying simply, I declare the Stacton Music Festival open. It is, I believe, now traditional for the festival to begin with a display of ballet dancing by the Dainty Dots from the Abigail Trotter School of Dancing and Mime. Ladies and gentlemen...
Hold it, Peter, hold it, dear. I'm afraid Alicia has had a slight accident in the wings. All right, Alicia. Mrs. Smollett is bringing you a safety pin, dear. All right, carry on, Peter.
Ladies and gentlemen, with Dr. Hinge at the piano, the Dainty Dots.
Doctor, for that wonderful accompaniment. And also many thanks to the dozen Dainty Dots, or at least the nine who managed to stay on their feet. Such a pity that Esmeralda's wings fell off. They wouldn't have got her very far anyway. She's such a big girl. Now it is the turn of the Doctor and myself to make our contribution to the programme, and we have chosen for you a very lovely duet from one of the rarely performed works of Gilbert and Sullivan, Princess Ida, or Castle Adamant. And that is the alternative title. And this duet comes from Act Two, and the characters are these. Lady Blanche, a professor of abstract sciences, a role undertaken by myself, and her daughter, Melissa, undertaken by the doctor here. Jolly good, evidently. And little character acting, I think. And
I shall endeavour to age up for it, yes, certainly.
Touché. And a rapier wit.
Get on with it, sharp.
So, yes, do get on with it. Yes. So the duet comes in Act Two, as I say, where Lady Blanche is asked by her daughter Melissa if she would like to rule the roast should Princess Ida be cast asunder or leave for some other part of the world.
All right, covers it about.
Yes, I think that's it. And on with the show. Well, I'm tremendously excited about a piece of poetry written by our own headmistress, Miss Primley. Now, unfortunately, Miss Primley can't be with us to read it herself.
She's no fool, dear.
But with the assistant of Dr. Hinge helping to create the mood with a few well-chosen twiddly bits on the pianoforte...
I do not twiddle, dear.
I shall ignore that. I would like to recite Miss Primley's poem, Moon Madness, on a half-day closing. Thank you. Oh, and the day is Wednesday. The full moon bathed in the gloom of Cobbett's Wood. Oh, foolish moon, to lose thy pure virginity. Old Mr. Criggle pours wet concrete on his mesembryanthemum. Alas, he is alone. Silence reigns. Silence, dear. Silence. Reigns amidst the sound of a thousand cacophonic cats and the rumblings of an ant working its mandibles. An esoteric haystack faintly quivers as the farmer's wench and Willie Small search for a needle. And as the moon casts glow on Cobbett's Wood, an earthworm sings his poignant song. Cock-a-doodle-doo! And now, ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to tell you that our special guest, dear Peter, is going to entertain us in his own inimitable way. Please, would you welcome back Mr. Peter Press.
No, Dame Hilda, not inimitable, irritable. Princess Ida's father, old, crippled, King Ghana. If you give me your attention, I will tell you what I am. I'm a genuine philanthropist, all other kinds I sham. Each little fault of temper and each social defect in my erring fellow creatures I endeavor to correct. To all their little weaknesses I open people's eyes, and little plans to snub the self-sufficient I devise. I love my fellow creatures, I do all the good I can, yet everybody says I'm such a disagreeable man, and I can't think why. To compliments inflated, I've a withering reply, and vanity I always do my best to mortify. A charitable action I can skillfully dissect, and interested motives I'm delighted to detect. I know everybody's income and what everybody earns, and I carefully compare it with the income tax returns. But to benefit humanity, however much I plan, yet everybody says I'm such a disagreeable man, and I can't think why. I'm sure I'm no ascetic, I'm as pleasant as can be. You'll always find me ready with a crushing repartee. I've an irritating chuckle, I've a celebrated sneer, I've an entertaining snigger, I've a fascinating leer. To everybody's prejudice I know a thing or two. I can tell a woman's age in half a minute, and I do. But although I try to make myself as pleasant as I can, yet everybody says I am a disagreeable man, and I can't think why. I can't think why.
Oh, bless you, Peter. That was lovely.
Oh, very delightful.
Oh, it took me back, that, you know. Yes, to when I played Ida, of course. And here I am now singing Lady Blanche. Well, however, you know, as it has come now to the end of our festival, I think I should tell all you lovely people here that Peter here, our friend, has consented to join us in a trio for three voices. And we have chosen a piece for you from one of the prettiest of all Gilbert and Sullivan pieces, Ruddigore. Now, I hope for those of you of a nervous disposition, you won't find it too frightening. Because it does take place in the Haunted Castle in Act 2. But however, or Act 2 in the Haunted Castle. Now, the Patter Trio from Act 2 of Ruddigore. Take it away, Doctor.
Eyes are fully open to my awful situation. I should go at once to Roderick and make him adoration. I should tell him I've recovered my forgotten moral sense, and I don't get up and sip and never any consequence. But I do not want to perish by the sword or by the dagger, but a mother may indulge a little pardonable swagger, and a word or two of compliment my vanity would flatter. But I've got to die tomorrow, so it really doesn't matter.
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 So it really doesn't matter. So it really doesn't matter.